come read the scripture. Let's stand as we read the scripture tonight. It's found in Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 33. And we'll read responsively tonight, as it is our custom to do. Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 to 33. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence, and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near, and said, Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure that there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, and be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure that shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy the city for a lack of 5? And he said, I will find there 45, and I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure that there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the Bible, the word of God, that Father clears us and Father gives us light. And Father, I pray that you be with our preacher tonight. Thank you that you're righteous. And thank you, Lord, that you look upon the wicked with mercy. And Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your saving mercy that has saved us from sin. And thank you for this free country that we can be in, Lord, and enjoy the freedom of hearing preaching and teaching out of the Word of God. I pray that tonight you prepare our hearts, you prepare ourselves, Lord, help us to remove everything that's pending and focus on the Word of God. Be with our preacher, help him tonight, Lord, help him to feel better, give him strength, Lord, and heal his body. That you be glorified in all things, in Jesus' name, amen.
You don't have to turn to it, you may if you want, you can look at it later. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live, that after should live ungodly. We'll probably refer to that verse again shortly. I want to say, by way of introduction, before I give you my title this evening, I want to say that I am still very optimistic about the nation that I live in. I do believe that a revival can take place, and the Bible says a revival can take place, and the Bible tells us what we need to do about it. Kind of preached about that this morning, and maybe I'll allude a little bit or talk a little bit about that tonight as well, but I'm still very optimistic. We live in the greatest nation in the world. We testify to that tonight, though I am concerned for our country. I'm very concerned about the direction that our country's going. And because I'm so concerned about my country, I pray often just for our country that America will be saved. I long for her salvation. I long for people to be saved. I long for our nation that has, I believe, turned their back totally on God. At one time in our nation's history, way back early on, our face shined upon the Lord. But now, through a course of events and through pride and through sin and through every different thing, if you will, we have literally turned our back upon God. But I still say, as a preacher of the gospel tonight, I am optimistic about this great land of ours. But the title of my message tonight is, Can America Be Saved? Can America Be Saved? You know the story here that was read a little while ago from Genesis chapter 18. And God heard the cry from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He knows, obviously, he knew of the filthiness and the sexual sin and the premarital sex and the shacking up and if it feels good kind of lifestyle, do it your way kind of lifestyle, the adultery that was going on there, the fornication, a place that was very godless, very anti-God, no care for God or his ways. And by the way, just some of them terms that I used just a moment ago is very much like we're experiencing in America today. You can just go through the checkout counters. You know, you've got to go ahead and put blinders on just to walk through a checkout counter and see basically what it is. I'll just call it what it is. It's pornography on the most part as you just walk through the checkout counters. You can't even turn on a television commercial anymore without it having sexual innuendo and things that you just would never have seen 10, 15, 20, even 30 years ago. Hey, you know what? Much of the premarital sex, which is promoted through Hollywood, much of the shacking up, which is the Bible talks about the marriage bed, how it's undefiled. God created a man and woman to be married, okay? If it feels good society, that kind of life, the adultery that's promoted through Hollywood, the fornication that's promoted through Hollywood, all of that adultery and fornication that's promoted through the music of today. Our place, our America that we love so dearly is fast becoming a godless nation. I don't like that, and I do sometimes wonder, I scratch my head, God, can America be saved? God, you know I love this country. And God, I want America to be saved. I want, I've said it time and time again, church, and you know it, that I love this country, and I'm not looking to take the next boat. Okay, in other words, not looking for my last breath, if you will. I hope, as I mentioned a week or so ago when my grandfather passed away, he's got a long, there's a lot of longevity on my dad's side of the family. I hope I have it. I hope that I make it to 90. I like to think that I can be a 90-year-old still preaching strong behind a pulpit. Some of you laugh, but I hope that'll happen. I hope I can go ahead and stand strong, and I'm still standing for preaching for the old Bible and the old ways and the old paths. That's my desire. But you know what? This preacher is very, very concerned about America tonight. We all ought to be concerned about our great nation that we live in. Abraham, of course, he had a personal interest here. He was pleading with God to spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Can we know the story how, hey, if I go into the city and find 50 righteous, would you spare the city? And God said, yes, I'll go ahead and spare it. Hey, I couldn't find 50, but God, how about 45? Would you go ahead and spare the city? Yeah, I'll go ahead and spare it. Hey, I couldn't find 45, but could you, if I find 40, God, would you spare the city? I can see the urgency, if you will, of an Abraham here. Hey, you know, I had a vested interest. He had a man there, Lot, who was like his son. It was his nephew and his family that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't want them destroyed. He didn't want that his family destroyed. And I think that Abraham was such a godly man that he wanted that city to go ahead and be saved. Oh, how we ought to have that same desire for our America. We ought to desire that America can be saved. We ought to look at the boys and girls that are dying and going to hell tonight. We ought to look at our unsaved family member that is dying and going to hell tonight. Hey, you know, we ought to have a sense of urgency. Hey, God, would you spare America? Listen, I don't want America to go ahead and be burned with a fire and brimstone. God, if we find some righteous people, would you go ahead and spare America? And you know what? As it is in this story here, in this account here. God says, listen, if you find 40, I'll go ahead and spare it. Yeah, he couldn't find 40. If you find 30, I'll go ahead and spare it. He couldn't find 30. If you go ahead and find 20, I'll go ahead and spare it. He couldn't go ahead and find 20. Hey, how about 10, God? If would you spare it for 10? Couldn't even find 10. When you think about the numbers here just for a minute, Lot and his wife was there. God said, I'd spare it for 10. There's two. Lot's two daughters were there, and they were married. There's another four. That's six. You know, if Lot would have taken the values that no doubt Abraham had taught him about the Lord God, if Lot would have gone ahead and gone in there instead of backsliding, as the Bible talks about, and living his own life and living a very wicked lifestyle, and gone in and been a missionary to Sodom and Gomorrah and just found them four more, God would have said, I'll spare Sodom and Gomorrah. But they couldn't even find that. So, of course, we know the story how Lot was and his family, they escaped, except for, remember, Lot's wife. But Abraham, of course, he had a vested interest in this city because some of his family was there. I also think he had a vested interest in this city because of people. The lives of souls are dying, going to hell. Let me just say this. You know, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. Abraham, I think, had a vision to go ahead and desire to see some folks saved out of that. Not just his family, but I happen to think he also desired more than that. He was looking for 50. He couldn't even find 50. And today, you know what? If we don't get a vision for America, she will not be saved. 2 Chronicles 7:14, we know that verse very well, that the responsibility lies upon our shoulders tonight. And tonight, church, I want to quickly ask you, are you willing to shoulder some of the responsibility of helping to save your nation? You know, I'll just quote the verse again. We know it all too well. If my people, that's talking about us, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. You know, it might be America is just sliding down a spiral, just sliding into treachery, if you will, tonight, simply because there's a bunch of God's people we need to get right. There's some things in our life that the Holy Spirit wants and God wants to try to cut away from our life, but we don't want to go ahead and get it right. God is looking for some righteous people who will help go ahead and shoulder the burden, if you will, who will go ahead and help shoulder this responsibility of doing what we can to reach America. I'm not talking about the world tonight. I want to reach the world. And we have foreign mission, but I'm talking about the beloved nation that we get to live in tonight, the freedoms that we get to enjoy, that, by the way, one by one, they're just being slowly taken away from us. But we can act on it tonight. We can go ahead and do something. I believe that we can do something about it. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah was not saved. It was burned with fire and brimstone. No one in the city was willing to stand in the gap except for one man, Abraham. He tried. Abraham, he tried to no avail, but God destroyed that city. Whether we like it or not, America's in the same boat tonight. As I read that scripture again, very, very plain scripture, if you will, in 2 Peter. I'm going to read it again. The Bible says, "In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample or example, if you will, unto those that should live ungodly." That says that Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of what would happen if we as a nation want to live ungodly. Let me tell you something, church. It's going to happen. You know, and believe me, you know what? And we know that one of these days, God's going to go ahead and say, hey, go ahead and go get our children. It's time. But you know what? As long as the Lord tarries, you know what? We have a job to do, church. We have a job to go out there winning people to the lost. We have a job to do to go ahead and we live right. We get our families in order. We live as Christians ought to live. We get excited, as I mentioned about this morning. We reverence God and put him in his place in our home and in our church and in our life. We ought to put him number one. But the truth of the matter, America's in the same boat. Hey, you know what? That example of Sodom and Gomorrah is very much can be a testimony of what can happen to our great nation. We are traveling the same road. We can parallel America with such a city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Hey, America, Sodom and Gomorrah is an example of what's going to happen if we don't turn our back or don't turn our eyes upon the Lord again. Yet the politicians say that we're living better than ever. No, we aren't. The politicians say that we're living better than ever. Look at the internet. We can get info faster than ever now. We can go ahead. We have our cell phones. We have our big, huge televisions. We have the satellite system. Our world has advanced in a big way. They say that we're better than ever. And the brains of man had invented all these fancy things. The technology, by the way, came from God. All the smarts that came into building a computer and building all these fancy toys and gadgets that we have. And by the way, I'm not against the toys and gadgets. I'll just say it again. I'm against it when we go ahead and we replace it with God. And that's what's happened in the Christian life today. So many people, it's seeped into our Christian life. We're more excited about a Super Bowl game than we are the church house on a Sunday night. We're more excited about other things or other events than we are the preaching of the Word of God. We're more excited about getting a little extra sleep in the morning instead of getting in our Bible and walking with God before we go to work. The very God that saved you. Hey, can America be saved tonight? Not if we don't go ahead and be willing to shoulder some of the responsibilities. Oh yeah, the politicians and the world will say we're living better than ever. All the brains that man have to go ahead and invent all these fancy things that we have. You know what? As I mentioned, it came from God. Them brains came from God, but they deny it. Most scientists will say we're better than ever, spouting off their theory of evolution, saying, oh, this just happened. The Big Bang theory happened. You know, it takes more faith to believe in the Big Bang than it does that God created what we live on. Society thinks we are great. Things are great. We're better than ever. I want to say the Word of God teaches us that we're not doing so well. We are waxing worse and worse, the Bible says. Homosexuality is more commonplace and accepted as a regular lifestyle. You know, let me just stop and say this. You know, and of course, this is a joke. Everybody said it. You know, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. And, you know, the truth is how prevalent back in the mid-1990s, when Ellen DeGeneres came out of the closet, so to speak, boy, you know what? Homosexuality just kind of swept our nation so much faster. It's become an accepted lifestyle today. It's not normal, by the way. It's not common. You know, homosexuality is more commonplace today. Sex sins have increased ever so rapidly. Along with them, sex sins, if you will, sexual transmitted diseases have come along with it. Marriage between man and women are laughed at, but you know, it's amazing that marriage between the same gender is not. They're promoting it, but when a man and woman wants to go ahead and get married, they laugh at it. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality is promoted all over the internet, all over the TV screens, all through Hollywood, all through the checkout counters. Hey, I'm just going to say this tonight, church. America is not what she was 233 years ago. I have mentioned that some say that we're better than ever. With all the technology, you know, the truth of the matter is, and all of you know this, I'm not a techno guy, but all the technology that we have, and by the way, your computer ought to be a tool and not a toy. It really should be. If you can't handle, listen to me, and I'm not opposed to the internet, don't misunderstand me, but you know what, if you can't handle that internet, you start surfing, before you know it, you think about it, well, I'm just going to surf onto these websites and so forth, we've got about 20 minutes, you know what, it doesn't take long, once you just go from one site to another, you know, it won't be long before you lost 2 hours and 20 minutes. What I'm trying to say, if you're not careful with that internet, it'll take your time, but it'll also take you to avenues that you do not want to go. You know, the internet ought to be a tool. The computer ought to be a tool and not a toy. I know there's games that you can play. Don't misunderstand. There's games that you can play, but we need to have a certain balance about that and so forth. But all the technology, I'm not really all that impressed with all the fancy technology today. I'm sorry if I seem a little bit negative this evening about this particular point, but when it comes to our country, I do not believe that we're improving. I do not believe that nor do I believe that we are evolving. But I will tell you that I do believe that we are degenerating. Too many Americans, they can't read. They always look for the easy way out. Work doesn't work. They're too lazy. They don't want to go to work. In other words, they can't read. They can't write. They do not know English, which is the language of America, by the way. And we'll just stop there. They will not care for their children. They won't pay their bills. They will not take responsibility. They will not honor contracts. They will not tell the truth. They will not stand for righteousness and right living. They will not go ahead and read and live by the Bible. They won't honor the Lord. We are too wrapped up in self and what we want and not God, what God wants. And you know, the Bible says in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. America, listen to me, payday's coming. The very fact that one day, you know what, they came over for religious freedom. They were bound in religious persecution. And there was a day when our faith shined upon God. We counted on God to provide. We trusted in God for our needs. We reverenced God, as I mentioned this morning. He was an awe. We considered him an awesome God. And by the way, he still is an awesome God. He is still an awesome God. Somebody ought to say amen to that. He is still an awesome God. He gave you life today. He gave you that family that you're sitting beside tonight. He is an awesome God. He gave you salvation through his son Jesus Christ. He is an awesome God. And there was a day when America, they reverenced God to where he ought to be. He was King of Kings. He was Lord of Lords. But through it all, we've just turned our back on him. And America, payday's coming. You bet we better get our act together. I almost feel our nation has just about forgotten God. What will it take? What will it take to go ahead and turn our face back to God again? Will it be terrorism? Will it be some other catastrophe? Will it be another 9/11? Oh, we don't like the thought of it, but will it be? You know, it's amazing after 9/11 how religious we were, weren't we? You know what? You could go down the streets and everybody was waving their flags patriotically. You could go down the streets and you heard people saying, God bless America. Hey, remember the senators and the congressmen out on the steps in Washington, D.C.? They were singing, God bless America. What is it going to take for our great nation to turn our face back to God again? America, literally, as the scripture says, the Bible says, I'll read again, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations have to forget God. America's literally headed for hell and destruction because of our anti-God stance. People have asked me through the years, watching the decline of America, will America be saved? And I don't know. I hope so. But I really don't know. I do know this, though. I love America. I just don't love the direction that she's been going these last few years. I love America, the greatest nation in the world. We all should be praying for our country and our leaders. Let me just say that we all ought to be praying for our country and our leaders. You know, you say, well, so-and-so got in. That's okay, but he's still our leader, and we need. And by the way, he may not know it or acknowledge it, but he needs our prayers. You think about it. Number one, I wouldn't even want that responsibility. But you think about it. He's running the greatest nation in all the world. You say, well, no, you know, that's fine. I don't care what we think about what direction or whether he's going right or wrong. I don't really care. But I do know this. He has in his hands, so to speak, and leadership as far as running the greatest nation in all the world. And if we love our nation like I know we do, it would do us all well to be bending a knee and be praying for our president and be praying for the leaders of our country. Hey, listen, I do know that I love America. I love this great nation. I long for God's hand of blessing to stay on America. But I don't know, honestly, tonight, I don't know if for another generation America can be saved. I want it to be. By the way, I believe it can be. As long as 2 Chronicles 7:14 is in the Bible, I know it can be. But we've got to have a little bit of stamina about us, church. We as God's people got to have a little bit of drive about us. We got to have some grit about us. We got to really start looking at the big picture. What is really important? Is it stuff? Or is it God? Is it stuff, or is it raising our children for the cause of Christ? Is it stuff, or is it doing what we want? What is the big picture tonight? I long for God's blessing upon America. I want to stay upon America. I want America to be saved. But let me just say this. I do not know if America would be saved, but I do know that without these certain elements, it can't be saved. Number one, she cannot be saved without prayer. She can't be saved without prayer. You know, the Bible says, and I read in Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. You can jot these down or read them or what have you. Isaiah 64 verse 6 and 7. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away, and there is none. And there is none. Listen to this. This is sad first. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Hey, let me just go ahead and say this. I do know that if America is going to be saved, it will not be saved until we go ahead and start praying, until we go ahead and call unto thee. The Bible says there is none. You know, the Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth himself up to take hold of thee. There's nobody tonight that's reaching out to God. Hey, if America's going to be saved, it's going to be us getting on our knees in prayer and begging God, oh God, please save America. And begging, oh, please save my mama and my daddy. Oh, please save my unsaved children. Oh, please save my aunt and uncle. Oh, please save this country. Oh God, please be with our President of the United States. Give him wisdom, oh God. Oh God, I pray for his salvation if he's not saved. Be with our Congress. Be with our senators. Be with our governors, be with our mayors. Hey, you know what? If America's going to be saved, it's going to be saved by prayer, by us getting on our knees and praying. We need fervent prayer for America tonight. That's a deep, sincere, impassioned prayer. We need to get on our knees. Might be good to weep for America again. Might be good to go ahead and shed some tears for that bus kid, or for that bus route, or for your area, for Christ, for your family. It'd be good to go ahead and get on your knees and say, oh God, save our nation, heal our land, as the song says. We need prayer. We need faithful prayer, everyday prayer, not putting it off. It's amazing the other things we'll find to do than we find before we find our prayer closet. It's amazing what gets kind of in the way. And by the way, that's the tricks of the devil. The devil knows. The devil knows what it'll take to save America. He knows that this is one of the elements that's very, very necessary. That's God's people getting on their knees and praying. He knows. Boy, it's amazing the things he'll go ahead and get in the way before you get to your prayer closet. And you know what we need to say? We need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm heading for my prayer closet. Nothing is going to steal my time. Hey, listen. If America's going to be saved, it will not be saved without prayer. We need to be prayer. Have prayer, fervent prayer, faithful prayer, families praying together, homes being rebuilt. Number two, she cannot be saved without preachers. She cannot be saved without preachers, without prophets. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know, I do know this. If America's going to be saved, it's going to be because of the preaching and preachers standing up for righteousness and crying aloud the name of Jesus Christ and crying aloud the sins of our nation and crying aloud the sins of the world. Hey, you know what? And if we're going to save our nation, it's got to be through preachers. We need to be producing some preachers. Churches have lost their cause. We've gone ahead and changed, if you will, churches by the droves are changing their music. They're changing their Bible. They're changing their way of dress. They're changing their hours. It's amazing. You go down the street. I never could figure this out. You go down the street to almost any town in America, you see a church, summer hours. Summer hours. In other words, they can't go the three or four, however many hours they normally have during the winter. I don't know what the winter hours are, but they say summer hours, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. All I can say is, is that all God deserves? is just 1 hour. I'm talking about the church getting together and coming together and hearing the word of God taught and preached. Is that all God gets? You know, I'll just say this. We're in our summer hours right now. Amen. You know, the hours that are out on that sign will be there summer, fall, spring, and winter. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, teenagers. And whenever the doors are open, you know what? And doors are open. Here, let just say this. You know what? We don't have summer hours here. We have, our doors are always going to be open every single Sunday and every single Wednesday. Nobody seems to care about the call of God care to take God's call seriously. You know, God's looking for a man, men who will take the call of God and run with it and not fumble it. You know, listen, I've worked with young people and I've worked in the ministry for years, and I've gone ahead, I'm going to have this for a few minutes here, and I've seen preachers, young men get called to preach. They go to an altar and they'd be crying, they'd be weeping, and I'd go down and I'd even put my arm around them and I'd cry and weep with them, and they say, Brother Sean or Pastor Weeks, you know, God has called me to be a preacher and so forth, and they get excited, they go home and they tell the whole church that God's called them to preach, and I believe it was sincere and so forth, and God's called them to preach. And they get busy for God. They get excited on a bus route. They get involved in church and they go out soul winning and they're reading their Bible and so forth. But somewhere along the way, they start fumbling it. Well, I don't know if God called me somewhere down the road. A year or two before, they were so excited about the preaching, about the desire to go off to Bible college, to be a preacher and so forth. But somewhere they went ahead and fumbled it and so on. And the truth of the matter is, it is not God that changed, it's they did. They didn't have the grit or whatever. They didn't have the desire or whatever. I don't know what it is. They've allowed maybe a friend, so to speak, get in the way to deter them from God's holy call upon their life. They've allowed some other career path get in the way. They've allowed something else to go ahead and get in the way. You know, they remember the time, and I've sat down with them because this kind of guy I was, and they knew that I loved them. I sit down, hey, what happened to that call that happened at that camp, that happened at that youth conference, that happened on that bus, that happened in that church service? Hey, what happened to that call that they once had? And they'll go ahead and just look at me with a blank look and say, I never had it. Really? What happened between you and God at that altar where they just fake tears? Well, Brother Shaw, I they just kind of stumbled through their words. Hey, listen to me. What I'm trying to say is we need preachers today. We need preachers. We need churches that just stand by the old stuff, who stick with the old time religion. We need people that will go ahead and take God's call seriously. And listen, I'm not looking for an adult man tonight to go ahead and say, hey, you know what, preacher, I'll go ahead and go preach the gospel. Hey, the truth of the matter is, we all here tonight have a responsibility to preach. You know, our life ought to be preaching a sermon. You go to work, someone ought to tell there's something different about you. You got God in your life, and you ought to testify and say, yeah, I have God in my life. That's why I can sing a new song. That's why I have a spring in my step. That's why I can go ahead and whistle. And that's why I can go ahead and read the Bible. You know what? Because I have God in my life, and I've been saved. You know, you go to work tomorrow, people ought to tell there's something different about your life because you're saved. But the truth is, we all have the responsibility to preach. That's soul winning. We all have that responsibility. But you know, let me just take it a bit further. Maybe there's someone here tonight. Maybe there's some young, we have a lot of young people around here. You say, I'm not necessarily looking for preachers. I'm not necessarily pulling it out. But you know what? Hey, young people, would you consider it? Would you consider just laying out on an altar, God, whatever you want to do with my life, you can go ahead and do it. Whatever it is, God, I'll just go. I'm not saying you come forward and you write down, well, I'll consider doing this. I'll be a missionary. No, no, no. Why don't you just start out by saying, God, whatever it is that you want me to do with my life, I'll do it. You know, maybe it's a pastor's wife, lady. Maybe it's a missionary. Maybe it's an evangelist. Maybe it's a preacher, senior pastor. Maybe it's a youth pastor. I don't know what it is, but you know, I'll go ahead and do it. Hey, you know what? If America's got to be saved, we got to have more preachers.
We got to have more preachers that will stand up and preach the King James Bible. We've got to have more preachers that will go ahead and not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We got to have more preachers that will go ahead and stick with the old songs. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I heard an old story how a Savior came from an old victory in Jesus. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Hey, them are the most precious songs of the faith. Hey, you know what? We need them kind of churches. We need them kind of preachers that will stick with the old book, that will stick with the old ways. That's what's going to save America. It's not just going to be a fervent prayer life in every Christian tonight, every child tonight. You know, you ought to have a fervent prayer life, and you ought to be praying for your family. You ought to be praying for your preacher. You ought to be praying for your bus route. If you have a bus route, you ought to be praying for your ministry. You ought to be praying for your church, but you ought to pray for America. You ought to be praying for America. You ought to weep for America. Remember a few years ago at youth conference, might have been 4 or 5 years ago, Brother Scott got up and he preached a message that has been so powerful. He preached it several times, but it's so powerful at this event at youth conference, at this service. The title of it was called America, America, and he just had a lot of visual aids and different things, and he just got up and preached a powerful testimony, a powerful message. And he got up. He challenged young people to pray 1 hour a week for the next year, to pray 1 hour a week for America. And it was amazing, the response. I don't remember, thousands and thousands of kids went forward, signed a little card, said, Brother Scott, you know, I prayed. I told God I would go ahead. I'd pray for America 1 hour a week. You know, that's only about 10 minutes a day. You know, I'm not looking for the same invitation tonight, but what would it take for us to pray for America? I'm talking about America for 1 hour. Just about 10 minutes a day. Just over 8 minutes a day, I think. But what would it take? What would it take? Oh, we love this country. I do. And I know you do. I talked to several, you know, I love this land. We live in the greatest land in all the world. We heard the testimonies tonight. Hey, do we love it so much that we'd go ahead and take a segment of our prayer time and say, I'll pray for America. I'll pray for America to be saved. Hey, she cannot be saved without prayer. She cannot be saved without prophets or preachers. If God called you, he meant it. God called you, young person, to be a preacher. He meant it. He did not change. The one that changed was you. I remember another illustration. I was a boy. I don't think he'll mind. I don't think he'll mind. And if you go ahead and tell him when he comes and visits again, I think he'll understand that I was using it for good. But I remember as a 12, 13-year-old boy, grew up in church a lot like ours here. Preacher the old time way. Remember my dad, boy, he was stirring. I can't remember if it was a missions conference but there was a special speaker there, I do know. And my dad was sitting there with his family. Every Sunday we'd be in church together as a family. Good practice, by the way. And he would go ahead and he was stirring. I kind of remember sitting there at the end of the pew. It's a young whippersnapper. Okay. And I was kind of looking, he was kind of moving around as the preacher was preaching. I remember him going forward at the invitation, just crying and weeping. I didn't understand it. I was still a young man, as I mentioned. And still, I couldn't understand, and he went ahead and made some decision, and then he got up. The preacher says, well, you know, let's tell. There's another friend of his that felt the same call. And my dad said that he was called to be a preacher. I was excited about it. I said, wow, this is cool. This is really neat, you know. I was a young kid, but this is pretty neat. And I went ahead and again, this is not bad against my dad, but, you know, he went ahead the call just didn't work out. He just couldn't pursue it or different things. He was a farmer. He had a lot of different things going on. I do remember that. But let me just say this, and it's kind of a personal illustration, but I don't mind sharing it with my church. And I know my dad has no problem me sharing this. But, you know, later on in life, as I grew up and became a teenager, and I made the same decision that he did a few years back at an altar, I remember him saying, That, you know, he knew that God had called him. He said that. But he says, you know, I couldn't go ahead and necessarily finish that course in life. The Bible doesn't make him a bad man. Okay? And there may be someone like that here tonight. Doesn't make you bad. If you're in your place tonight, you just keep on serving God right where you are. You go forward and you be an example to the younger generation. Because what he said was, you know what? I may not be the preacher, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to help my son be the preacher. I'm going to go ahead and try to live the example that I need to live and encourage my son so that he can go ahead and take a pulpit one day. And what I'm trying to say is I thank God that my dad, you know what, even when I was called to preach, I wasn't sure what he'd think. He was a farmer. He was into farming. I was into farming. And when I went to my dad and he found out that I was a preacher, I thought, man, you know, he and I had talked about plans about taking over the farm. I was going to take over the dairy farm once I graduated from high school and take a few agricultural courses. I just thought, man, he's going to be disappointed. And he went ahead and he pulled me aside and he recalled me, took me back to that time. He says, I know you remember this, son. But he said, the truth of the matter is, I didn't get to where I maybe should have. But you know, I prayed every day since that, since you've been called to preach, I'm going to do everything I can to help you and support you in the ministry that God has for you. Hey, you know what? Let me just stop and say this. If your child, moms and dads, Sunday school teacher, adult leader here tonight, if your child has that holy call of God upon their life, they go ahead and they weep the tears and they pour their heart out to God and they ever stand up and say, God has called me to preach. God has called me to the ministry. God has called me to be a Christian school teacher or missionary wife or pastor, whatever the case may be. Moms and dads, don't you go ahead and squash that call. You go ahead and say, I'm going to do everything I can to support my child to do God's will. Listen to me, I've seen it happen way too much. I've seen it happen way too much of young people being called to be the future Christian leaders down the road. And moms and dads to say, well, wait a minute, hold it. Hold it, wait a minute, okay, let's wait. That's not a bad thing. But you know what? What about the money aspect of it? You know, you gotta understand, some of the preachers that I've seen, you know, unless you go into televangelism, it's not a get-rich-quick type of career. Let me just stop and say this. You know, moms and dads, if you ever think about that, and I'm just helping you a little bit because I want to help the next generation. Please hear me out tonight. But you know what? The best thing you can do, first of all, you need to understand God controls all the funds. He controls all the money. But number two, you know what? The best thing you can do is you go ahead and you pray with that son, that daughter through the years. And you go ahead and you support that child. You support them and you help encourage them to get to the right Bible college. That'll go ahead and teach them how to be the kind of Christian leader that they ought to be. So that they can go ahead and carry on what we're doing right now for the next generation. You see, you know, one reason why I have a big heart for young people, because I love my country so much that I want to do everything I can. I'm not going to coerce them. The Holy Spirit does all that. But if a young person comes to me and says, preacher, I want to be a preacher. I want to serve God full-time, whatever. I'm going to do everything I can to say, okay, I'll do everything I can to help you and guide you. And I want you, the parents behind that child's decision, because we have a big picture. And if we can go ahead and get as many preachers and as many young people to go ahead and serve God now, you know what? We have hope for this nation. If we can go ahead and teach them the ways of and how to live the old-time religion and get in the Word of God now and get them off to right training and different things and get it instilled in their heart, you know what? There's going to be hope for America. What I'm saying tonight, America can't be saved if we don't go ahead and have preachers that'll preach righteousness. Hey, listen. She cannot be saved without prophets. We need preachers to preach against the sins of this nation and win the lost to Christ. We need churches that will go ahead and stand and be what they ought to be, preaching the old-time religion, not looking for a new way. We need preachers and churches that will preach against sin. What preacher will stand for Christ? How will the world hear? The Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? Hey, we need preachers tonight. We need preachers who will not change. Not change the book. Not change the blood. Not change the deity. Not change the old-time way. The old-fashioned standards. The soul-winning. The music. Hey, we just need to go ahead and stick with the old-time religion. In America, number three, cannot be saved unless we get back to moral purity. If we don't get back to moral purity, America cannot be saved. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, listed now, the Bible says, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to many people, to any people. We're passing laws today supporting gay marriage all across this country. 6 or 7 states now, at least. And I don't know how many more may be on the ballot. States including our beloved state of Maine. You know, it's running rampant. Sex sin is running rampant. The Bible calls it, God calls it an abomination. But it's become commonplace. Our leadership is for it. I'm not, you know, yes, I want to pray for our leadership, but boy, it really does irk me when our leadership that we have is for it. It irks me when the highest position in the world goes ahead and downplays an affair. I'm talking about an extramarital affair. We know the era that was, but it really irks me. You know, let me just stop and say this. Let me just stop. When that incident happened in the White House many years ago, you know what? I noticed, and I wonder how many of you noticed, I noticed a moral decline big time right after that. It just all of a sudden went. When that incident happened, it became so accepted today. And it is so accepted today. Hey, you know what? America cannot be saved unless we get back to old-fashioned purity. And next, I'm going to move right along here tonight because I'm losing my voice. And some of you are saying, praise the Lord. That's okay. I'm going to be through in just a moment. It cannot be saved without keeping God first. Talked about that a little bit this morning, but church, we need to keep him number one in our life. Keep him number one in your home. And I promise you, I'm going to do everything I can to go ahead and keep him number one in this church. How often I've said, I know from whence we were started on the old-time religion. And I know that as far as I'm concerned, we're going to finish that way. We finished well, and we started well, and we're going to go ahead and finish well. The Bible says in Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned to hell, and all the nations that forget God. God said, we're becoming a nation that is really forgetting God. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? And as a result, they were an example of what happens when you become ungodly. And I fear for our nation the very fact that we are turning our back more and more away from God and walking more away from God, that we will become like a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah, and he will judge in that fashion. Psalm 33:12, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he chooses for his own inheritance. This is a nation that I long for. I long for our nation to go ahead and get back to putting God in his rightful place. And we need to be praying for that end. We need to put God in his rightful place. Real freedom is keeping God first, following this book. Freedom is not having it our way. We need to recognize God for his goodness and for who he is. Recognize his character, his long-suffering to usward. You think about it, he's very long-suffering. We really do serve a patient God. When you think about the moral decline in our nation today, we really do have a patient God. Think of his character, his mercy, and his grace, his loving kindness, the blessings that he bestows upon us daily. Boy, we need to go ahead and reverence God. God, you're awesome. Just tell him that again. God, you're awesome. Our nation needs to repent. Our nation, our God's people, needs to get on their knees again and just start praying. Asking God to forgive their sins. And in turn, we turn from our wicked ways. The Bible teaches, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I love America. I love America. I want our church to be the most patriotic church here in Massachusetts in the world. And I want our church to be the kind of church that loves America. And I want our church to be a praying church that'll pray for America. And if we're going to go ahead and heal, see God do great things, and see a revival, which I still believe that we can have here in our great nation, we've got to go ahead and shoulder some responsibility, church. We got to go ahead and shoulder some of it, a lot of it. We need to go ahead and you know, maybe it's been a while you've been out soul winning. Maybe it's been a while since you've gone ahead and just taken a handful of tracks and carried them with you in the console of your car, or carry them in your pocket or your purse and so forth, and carrying them along the way and passing out tracks. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe it's been a while since, Christian, you got in the book. Maybe it's been a while since you've entered your prayer closet. You know, America will not be saved until we go ahead and get back to prayer, till we get back to moral purity, till we go ahead and get back to preaching, and get back to putting God where he deserves to be. I long for our nation to be healed. I love this land. I wasn't going to plan on doing this, but won't you just play that song that we played for the offering? Just listen to it again. I know it's a long song, but I'm a little bit early. Pretty much in a nutshell, it's okay, I am a little bit early, amen. All right, but in a nutshell, that's what I preached, spoke about tonight. Kind of what I spoke about this morning. But I want you to go ahead and listen to it. Open your ears and listen to the song as it's played, Heal Our Land. And then I'll close. Out of your seat and just come to the altar and just pray for our nation tonight. That's what the invitation is all about. Maybe you just go ahead and need it. I don't care, you know, your family, your children, you know, whoever. Why don't you just come forward tonight and just say, I'm going to take this time. I'm going to pray for our nation tonight. I want our nation to remain free. You don't have to. That's okay. There's no pressure. If you want to do it right there in your seat, that's okay. We live in a great nation, church. If we're going to go ahead and be free, we've got to get back on our knees. God's people's got to pray again. That's what this song's all about. That's what the scripture says.
Don't you? Greatest country in all the world. You know, you think about it. There are some missionaries tonight that I could point you to that the country that they're, so they had to literally sneak into that country to go ahead and do what I'm doing right now. And they can't just walk into a building like this that looks like a church. They have to meet underground and preach their precious, unsearchable riches of Christ. But we get to go ahead and do it openly. We get to do it openly. We got to carry our Bibles this morning, you know, without any thought. I mentioned this morning, without having to, you know, we got to just go ahead and carry it openly. Not have to worry about it being snatched away. You know, we certainly do live in a great nation. Boy, we ought to be praying for our nation. Church, I encourage you, you know, pray for your nation every single day. Take a moment and be praying for our great nation. Our closing hymn is hymn number 300. We always close with this every Sunday night before we head off to our week. So hymn number 300. I'll even go ahead and lead it. Amen. All right. I appreciate Brother Joe helping me out today. I appreciate a lot of people helping me out today. As you can tell, my voice is not back to normal, and I'm not back up to power 100%, but I am here. Praise the Lord, and appreciate your prayers for me. Boy, it was different Wednesday night not being in my place, I tell you what, but we certainly have some great men around here. I mean that, and they know it. They know it. They'll have some. I don't want to give them too big of heads, you know. But we really have some great men that can, at the spur of the moment, just step in, and I appreciate that very. Amen. It's our future. It's our future. Amen. I tell you what, that's good. All right. We had church today. I had one saved today, and I'll just say it was my nephew that got saved today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, and a cute little guy, a little rambunctious, but cute little guy, just a blessing to get to know my nephew I've never seen before. Right, Jordan? It's all right. But anyways, thank you, church. Be in your place. Had a wonderful crowd today, had a wonderful day, and so forth, and just be praying for one another this week as we go out our separate ways. Wednesday night, be right back here for midweek service. I'll plan on being here. Amen. And be praying for one another. Oh, let's see here. Brother Robles, won't you come up and close in prayer?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight's message. We thank you, Lord, and we pray for our country. Lord, how far we have fallen from that which our forefathers have laid out for us, Lord. And Father, we still believe in our nation. Thank you that you have used America to seed the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank you that we fulfilled, Lord, the advancement of the gospel. Even we, Lord, and our nation, our heart cry out tonight, Lord, for our nation has turned from a righteous nation to a wicked nation. But Father, we pray that you once again will bring repentance to its leaders. Oh, Father, help us to stand and proclaim righteousness in this last day. Help us to stand, Lord, in the gospel, on the word of God. Help our families. Help our children. Heal our nation, Lord. Heal our families. Heal us. Father, heal our government. Heal our, Father, our fine institutions, Lord. We pray that you bring the healing of forgiveness and the power of the gospel to these places. That you turn our hearts around for you, that once again, Lord, we might be that righteousness that exalteth the nation, and that we might be a people with vision of reaching the world for Jesus Christ. So be with us today. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the standard of truth. And thank you that it's here, Lord, to proclaim the gospel to the next generation. Help us to glorify you now and to walk with you. Lord, that others may see Christ in us, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.